Is the UK Prime Minister in trouble? Liz Truss sacked her Chancellor after only a few weeks in office and reversed major economic policies. A turbulent start for any new government. But in a dire economic crisis, how will Truss face her challenges? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Emily Angwin. The UK's new Chancellor says he didn't vote for Liz Truss but supports her economic plans. Jeremy Hunt was appointed on Friday after Truss sacked his predecessor, Kwasi Kwarteng, just 6 weeks into the job. His tax-cutting mini-budget, financed through billions in increased borrowing, led to outrage and protests. The pound immediately fell to its lowest level against the US dollar. The Bank of England was forced to intervene and buy up government bonds to stabilise the economy. And with increasing pressure on the Prime Minister, Liz Truss did another U-turn on Friday. She announced corporation tax would rise from 19% to 25% next April, rather than staying at the current level as promised by Kwarteng in his mini-budget. Andrew Simmons has more from London.
And so another Chancellor has moved into 11 Downing Street, Jeremy Hunt the fourth, in only 100 days. And a situation that's extraordinary in British politics right now, with Liz Truss, the Prime Minister, having only served for just over a month, fighting for her political life. Why? Because she promised what perhaps she could not deliver, simply because the markets don't agree with what's going on. There's no proof that the money can be paid back, the money that she wants to use for tax cuts. And so we've had two U-turns so far, but now something much bigger than that, because the markets are now waiting on what this new Chancellor has to say. He's working the weekend in the Treasury offices, trying to work out a means of cutting back in many areas and trying to give in some others. But really, he's going to overturn the whole of what Liz Truss was promising all along. It's very clear that's going to happen. He did give tacit support in his round of media on Saturday morning, but in essence, he was talking about raising taxes and reducing debt where he can. He may actually also make cuts in a whole bunch of allowances in various departments. It is a situation whereby Liz Truss is not really going to get the recognition for any credibility she may have left. So the Conservative government is looking for another leader. There's no doubt about that. The question is, could it lead to a general election? They don't want that. Could they just install a caretaker government, a caretaker prime minister, and basically say Liz Truss goodbye? They could pressure her to go. So right now, a new chancellor who has to convince the markets and a prime minister fighting for survival. Andrew Simmons, Inside Story.
And we have reaction from the UK Labour Party leader. Keir Starmer says a change of government is needed.
And there's still one person clinging on, the Prime Minister. No doubt we'll hear plenty of laughable excuses in the coming days. After 12 years of stagnation, that's all her party has left. But even they know she can't fix the mess that she's created. And deep down, her MPs know something else. They no longer have a mandate from the British people.
Let's bring in our guests. They're all joining us from the United Kingdom in Manchester. Afzal Khan, a Labour member of the British Parliament and a former member of the European Parliament. In London, Anne Pettifor, an economist and author of The Case for the Green New Deal, and regularly advises governments. And from Bournemouth, Tobias Elwood, a Conservative Member of Parliament and Chair of the UK House of Commons Defence Select Committee. A warm welcome to each of you. Thank you for joining us on the program. I want to start with you, Tobias. Simply, will Liz Truss be Prime Minister this time next week?
Well, there's no doubt about it. The way you frame that question, it's been very difficult, the most difficult summer I can remember in politics. But this experiment that she put forward to have uncosted tax cuts clearly did not sit well with the market. It didn't sit well with members of parliament and didn't sit well with the public. And she's had to learn the hard way that we need to go back to something a bit more progressive, inclusive. And so I'm pleased that though it's been very, very painful indeed, we now have a new chancellor. We're plotting out a new economic direction. And not a moment too soon, in my opinion. We had a leadership contest which asked our party membership the direction of travel, and that's the way they wanted to go. I don't believe if we have to replace a prime minister again, we should ever be courting the membership in this way. It should be MPs to decide the future direction of travel, so we can tease out the portfolios, we can tease out the parameters in which a new prime minister may want to go, and we could have avoided a lot of pain that we've experienced in the last couple of months.
Afzal, the opposition has a completely different take. They're calling for a general election. Is that needed?
Well, I think so, because the bottom line is this. I mean, Tobias said that the prime ministers have learned the hard way. But, you know, the hard reality is prime minister's office is not about learning lessons. It's about governing effectively the government of Britain. And what we have seen is the chaos. You know, in the last 10 years, we've seen the lowest growth. And here you have a prime minister who was joined in the hip with the chancellor. And when she got into trouble with a terrible policy, and this is thrown him under the bus, is trying to save her own neck. And the real question is, will the market forces will have confidence? And the truth is, I can't see how they would have a confidence in this prime minister.
And I do want to get to the economic fallout in just a moment. But Tobias, if I could just get you to react to Afzal. As he said, Truss and the ex-chancellor designed this budget together. How come she gets to stay and he has to go?
That is our parliamentary system, but we shouldn't dismiss the fact that there's been huge concern amongst backbenchers, including myself. I'm pleased to see Jeremy Hunt has now joined the team. He'll provide his economic outlook on the 31st of October, and that is the process. That is our system. I hear Labour calling for a general election. We called for a general election when Gordon Brown came in. And don't forget, he's the one that sold our gold at the wrong price at the wrong time. So, you know, decisions are made all the time, which on reflection, you might want to do differently. Ultimately, let's see where things go with Jeremy Hunt, with the statement, with the new economic model. That's the best direction forward at this moment in time.
The idea of seeing how things go, Tobias, the British public didn't necessarily vote for Truss or her policies. Why should they give her that time?
Again, that is the British model here. You don't vote for a prime minister. You vote for a party to be in government. We don't have a presidential system in this country. This is nothing new. It comes up every time a prime minister is replaced while in office. And like I said, I don't believe if we did this again, we should adopt these rules where we go to our party base and ask them their views, because they have a very different outlook than MPs than we do looking at the next general election itself. And I think that applies to Labour as well. It was actually William Hague who introduced these rules. Margaret Thatcher was replaced not with the membership, but by MPs alone. So if we go through this process again, I believe it should remain in-house with the members of parliament, with the parliamentary party.
Afzal, your reaction?
Well, I think, look, the difficulty we have is ultimately it's about the confidence the financial markets would have. And I think currently what you have is a chancellor who is giving a different direction, and you have a prime minister who spent months going around the country giving a totally different direction. So the fear ultimately will be the whole tension that will exist between the two most powerful forces that we have in government. And that is the problem. So you have, on top of that, you know, you've got a history where you ended up with four chancellors in 4 months. How do markets have confidence in that? And then again, when you look at what's happening, the feeling in the country, I think they've totally lost the confidence of the country too. And therefore, you know, just changing the chancellor won't do. I think ultimately we need to reset this button. And the best way of doing that is actually let's have a general election, let the public the people of Britain decide, and let's have a fresh government. And I think that would be a Labour government.
Tobias, you were smiling or smirking there. That's certainly not your opinion.
Well, no, as I say, it's always the call of the opposition party when the government is in trouble or when there's a change of leadership. Let's have a general election. I've just admitted and made it very, very clear that we got that economic model wrong, that this idea, this Vanna Hayek approach to reducing taxes in isolation because of Britain's global position, we are subject to economic, international economic headwinds, which we have to bear in mind. What's going on in Ukraine, for example, they need to be factored in. So it's quite right that we do this economic adjustment. We have to wait to see what Jeremy Hunt is going to do. But he's made it very, very clear. There's possibly going to be a rise in taxes. We're going to reverse the change in corporation tax. We've already seen that change in the 45p tax rate. I expect to see other changes too, which will be to the liking of the markets and indeed to MPs and indeed Britain as well. So now isn't the time to hold a general election.
Well, let's bring in Anne Pettifor now. Speaking of the economy, how wrong did they get it, Anne? How wrong did the Tories get it in terms of their economic model?
So, thank you very much. But the point is this, that however much the Tories may want to clean up the political scene and however ruthless they are about cleaning up the mess that's been made politically, it's much, much harder to do anything about the deep scars in the British economy that are a consequence of this wrong policy making, this reckless. I have to say, I'm haunted by the image of a very casual chancellor strolling down the street and flinging a hand grenade into the global capital markets, so carelessly, so without awareness of consequences. And so the scars from that mistake are very, very deep and will take a long time to mend. And when I say scars, I'm talking about the 5 million people in Britain who are going to have to face increased mortgages and at higher rates of interest in the next year, right? That's an awful lot of people. That's families. Those are people who are going to have to cut back on their spending by, I don't know, £600 a month. That's going to impact deleteriously on them, but also in aggregate terms, it's going to be further damaging to the economy. And this damage isn't something that happened 3 weeks ago. We've had catastrophe shock after shock. So the catastrophe, which that was the 2007-09 crisis, was a direct result of the Hayekian deregulation model that Ms. Truss is so proud of, right? Deregulation is what led to reckless activity in the international financial system and gave us that shock. And then when that shock scarred our economy very badly, George Osborne decided to deepen the damage with austerity. So we've had 12 years of austerity. Now, to be fair to Ms. Truss and indeed to Boris Johnson, Boris Johnson was elected on a mandate of reversing austerity, of levelling up, not levelling down. And Ms. Truss was actually going to level down by cutting taxes for the rich and hammering the poor with deep austerity, with refusing to increase benefits in line with inflation. So, the poor old British economy has been hammered over the last 12 years. And it's not surprising, therefore, that the markets have no confidence in our leaders. And may I say this, the markets aren't demanding austerity. What they're demanding is prosperity. They want to see full employment. They want to see people in decent jobs. They want to see people with decent incomes that generate tax revenues for balancing the books. If you lower people's wages, which is what's happening now, wages are being forced down, you lower income, and therefore you lower tax revenues, and therefore you worsen the budget deficit. You don't improve it.
So, Tobias,
and that's what is going to happen if we have more austerity.
Indeed, and I just want Tobias. Can Jeremy Hunt steady the ship, Tobias?
Lots that was missed over there. I mean, firstly, you've got COVID that added £400 billion to the books that we had to pay off. You then have the international headwinds of Ukraine, which we could do much more to reduce inflation because of those grain ships and not coming out of Odessa, for example. But also, you're right about interest rates, because Britain was wanting to borrow more. Now, you can borrow less. We've made that very clear. You change the corporation tax. That's £18 billion that's now been found. So we will see interest rates. Yes, they've gone up. They are potentially likely to come down as well. What the markets want, in addition to those things that you were mentioning, is stability. It's predictability. And that's what we're now going to get back to. But absolutely right. I'll put my hand up and say we've gone through a lot of pain to get there. The bottom line was, though, we haven't had productivity or growth in this country since 2008. So the modelling that we've had, whether it be George Osborne or whether it be Boris Johnson, has not grown. And so what Liz Truss was trying to do, if I can finish, is actually try to provide a more radical approach, which I didn't agree with, but she did, and other economists were driving her on, to say it was, yes, this sort of Van Hayek approach of absolutely unfunded tax cuts, thinking that they would pay for themselves. Now, clearly, in today's day and age, with the economic situation we faced, that was never going to happen.
OK, I'm going to get Anne to jump in there and respond, and then I would like to bring in Afzal after that. So, Anne, if you'd like to briefly respond.
Well, I think, you know, what COVID showed us is that fiscal fiscal policy is subordinated to the really urgent policy of having to deal with a shock like COVID. And equally today, fiscal policy should be subordinate to the broader objective of investing. And if we have low productivity, it's because we have low levels of investment. Now, the Bank of England is insisting on ratcheting up interest rates. That is going to discourage investment. And we need more investment in people, in infrastructure. We particularly need it because we're facing climate breakdown. We need to transform our infrastructure systems, transport, energy, and so on, in order for us to survive the next shock that's coming, which is a climate and a biodiversity shock. And for that, we need investment. And what we're getting now is a reversal of investment, higher interest rates, and a discouragement both of public and private investment. And that's going to be very bad for the British economy, as well as, of course, not be preparing us for the big crisis of climate breakdown.
Afzal, what should the UK be doing at this critical juncture?
Well, look, I think the Labour Party has been very clear, and we've been asking the government to actually be responsible. We're asking them to reverse this mini-budget. You know, you can't simply go around spending $60 billion and trying to borrow this and then giving that money also to much of that money to the rich people. The idea that giving more money to rich people is going to help the poor people, it doesn't make sense. It's the poor who needs the more help. And what they've done is they've given it to them. What they'll simply do is put that money in the bank. But if you give it to the rest of us, they're more likely to spend it and help the economy to grow. So I think this is where they need to look at. And I think we've given them the idea of making sure that there should be a windfall tax on those companies who was making billions from rest of us. That those billions, actually, they're the ones who should be paying the windfall tax. That's the best way of doing it. So I just think they're getting it totally wrong again and again. And one of the further thing I would say here is, you know, if you look at the history, you will find that, look, there has been difficulties, but it's how you deal with those difficulties which is the key. And in the history, you will see whether it's a Labour government or a Conservative government, they moved, they reacted immediately and dealt with it. With this government, we see it again and again, they're sitting back late and letting the damage happen, and then they do the thing they should have done earlier on.
Well, let's look at the corporation tax. Jeremy Hunt has said he will increase it to 25%. But, Tobias, there's still going to be a giant black hole. How's he going to make the sums add up?
Well, that's what we have to wait for on the 31st of October. But what he has done is taken away some of those red lines, if you like, that were introduced to say that we're not going to look at government spending and looking at more efficiencies and looking at raising tax as well. So these are more sensible approach, which, again, the markets will like. So we have to wait to the 31st of October. But what we are going to see is more fiscal responsibility. And if there's one thing the Conservatives have always been very, very proud of up until this moment, of course, has been that fiscal responsibility. And that's why it's so critical for us to get back and repair that reputation.
And where does this leave the UK in... Afzal, I'll let you respond.
Yes. Sorry, Tobias. The point I want to make to Tobias is this. Look, waiting now for still for the financial statement, when there's a chaos taking place in the financial markets, the sensible thing to do would be the mini-budget followed with the statement. Having that gap is what's causing also the damage and uncertainty.
And what's going to happen
I would like to...
Tobias, please.
Well, absolutely, it would be nice to have those that statement brought forward. I think we now give Jeremy Hunt a little bit of space for him to do his homework. What we're seeing here is a radical change in direction from what we had during the summer in the build-up in the contest and then indeed in the last few weeks. So I think we owe it to Jeremy to give him the space in order to do that. But already, I'm afraid I disagree. We're seeing the market settle. We're seeing a sense of stability coming in. They'll be looking with interest as to where we go. We'll have better clarity about that on the 31st of October.
But surely, Anne, if I can address this a question to you, we need to give Jeremy space, as Tobias says, but surely the UK public deserves some answers now, given the uncertainty that has ensued over the last 6 weeks or so.
Exactly. And the question is, you know, the question facing the British public is, how do we cope with our energy bills? How do we cope with the cost of living crisis? How do we cope with our mortgage bills going up? How do we cope with the fact that we actually, you know, with austerity and rises in interest rates and a lack of investment, we're going to have a question about employment or unemployment? So the uncertainty for the British public is really intense. And especially for families. And somehow or other, we can't just regain the confidence of the markets or the confidence of consumers by simply changing the deck chairs, if you like, on the sinking ship. There is something about this government which is deeply unstable, and people don't believe that simply switching chancellors is going to stabilise things overnight. I'm very worried about the Bank of England's determination to just carry on raising interest rates. And it's that above all else which is causing disruption, not here, just here in Britain, but globally. The central bankers, all of them technocrats, none of them elected, none of them accountable to the people of Britain, the United States or Europe, are going ahead to fight inflation, to fight high energy and food prices, which have got nothing to do with central banks, but are global. Those prices are not fixed here in Britain. They're fixed in the Chicago market. Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the CME. So the idea that central bankers can manage those prices by ratcheting up rates, in my view, is deeply damaging, not just to the British economy, but to the rest of the world. And those problems will still be facing us on Monday when we have a new Chancellor.
All right. Well, we're about to wrap up the show, but I'd like to ask you all briefly, you know, Liz Truss repeatedly stressed in her press conference on Friday that the public wanted stability. Tobias, I'll start with you. What's your message to the UK public?
Let's listen to Jeremy Hunt, but we also need to make it clear from the Conservative perspective, we can't have experiments like this. Britain does well under Conservative government when it's a one-nation approach, when we have a centrist approach that brings together the strength of our parliamentary party from all sides of the left and the right of the party. And what Liz Truss did at the beginning was to just get all, you know, those in the right of the party were given the jobs. We've learned the hard way. We only have one shot at this to get it right. We're changing the economic direction. We need to add to that the political direction and finally the international direction as well. There's a gap in the market for international leadership, and I'd like to see Britain step into that to tackle the oil, gas and indeed the food crisis that we're seeing all connected to Eastern Europe and indeed Russia.
And Afzal, just a brief comment from you.
But look, for me, very briefly, the point is I think you're absolutely right. The people in Britain want to see stability. But the hard truth is, what we've had from this Tory government is decades of lies and sleaze. We've had the lowest growth in the 200 years of history, and still they want to learn and they want to dish out more cuts. When we faced year after year cuts to our public services, I think people are sick and tired. We need to reset the button. We need to have a general election.
OK, well, we have to leave it there, but we appreciate everyone's thoughts. Thank you to all of our guests, Afzal Khan, Anne Pettifor and Tobias Elwood. It's been a fascinating discussion. Thank you, too, for watching at home. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is AJInsideStory. From me, Emily Angwin, and the entire team here in Doha, bye for now.